hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning we focus our attention on our gospel reading from Luke chapter 9, where we see God's glory manifested in his transfiguration. You may be seated. I had the opportunity to see the Lutheran High presentation of Newsies last weekend, and if you haven't, you saw it too? It was awesome, wasn't it? Yeah. If you haven't ever seen one, go and see the musical presentations that they do at Lutheran High. They really are incredible. The music was wonderful. The sets and the lighting were incredible. The acting was great. And there was one line in that show that really caught my attention. As a pastor, anytime you hear someone talk about a sermon in a play in the theater, it's going to catch your attention. And so the main character, Jack, was getting some advice from one of the other characters. And then he said, "If I really wanted to hear a sermon, I would have gone to church." So when I was up there for chapel this last week, I played off of that just a little bit and reminded the students why it is that they do need to be in church and why it is that they do need to hear sermons. And I'll remind you, in case you've forgotten as well, we need to hear the sermon because what's actually happening here in this place is that the law is being preached. I heard a couple of people after last week's message, after that exhortation to love your enemy, who came up to me afterwards and who said, "That message was pointed directly at me." And I said, "Well, yeah, it kind of was." Not that I knew who actually needed to hear that message, but God knew. God always knows what message is needed and who needs to hear it. But it's not just the law that's being spoken. The gospel is being proclaimed as well. And the gospel takes us from this place where we're at, one of sin and shame, and it brings us to a place of restoration. It reminds us of who we are in God's eyes. Beloved children. And I pray that no one would ever leave here feeling like they've been dragged down by the law without also hearing the clear message that because of the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, that you are forgiven for every single fault and failing that you have. That's the transformation that we have in the gospel. From sinner to saint, forgiven and renewed. And while today we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord, we remember that while he's transfigured, we're transformed. And that play last weekend got me to thinking about this concept, this idea of being transformed. Perhaps that's why people like acting so much. I'm really not much of an actor, but I did do a little bit of acting. I was in some Christmas plays with my youth group in high school. And then there was this one Neil Simon play in college that I got roped into because the director was begging for participants because they couldn't fill up the cast. And so I'm a sucker and said, "All right, I'll do it." Even though I would have certainly rather been playing soccer or tennis or pretty much anything else. It really wasn't the worst thing in the world because I did learn some things. And what I really liked about that opportunity to do some acting is that it gave me the opportunity to be someone else for just a little while. To take on a role that wasn't me and pretend that I was someone else. And it was nice for just a little while, but I was definitely happy to get back to who I actually am when that play was over. I think there are times that all of us would like to pretend to be someone else. And that's okay, but while we're doing that, we also have to remember who God made us to be. God created you exactly as He wanted to. Male or female, short or tall, athletic or musical, good with your hands or maybe good with your mind. Sometimes you might want to be something other than what you were created to be, but God made you just as He wanted you to be, with the gifts and talents that He wanted you to have. And part of living the Christian life is figuring out what those things are, what gifts and talents God has given to you, and then how God wants you to use those to His glory. And sometimes acting a different part helps us to figure out who we're not, so that we can then more clearly see who we are. In our gospel reading for today, people might say that Jesus is playing a part, or that He's acting, that He's showing those disciples something different than who He truly is. After all, those disciples have never seen Him, as the text says, with His face altered, or as the gospel writer tells us, with clothing that became dazzling white. This is such a different Jesus than they've known that Peter and James and John are absolutely and completely shocked. So shocked that after the fact of this encounter with the transfigured Jesus, they don't even tell anybody else about it for quite some time. And during that encounter on the Mount of Transfiguration, they're so confused by what they see that they don't even know what they're saying. The text tells us that Peter wanted to build tents for Moses and Elijah and for Jesus, and then points out quite clearly that he didn't know what he was saying. But in this moment, Jesus isn't acting a part. He's showing those disciples who He truly is. Of course, they've seen Him perform miracles. They've watched Him heal the sick. They've seen Him cure the lame. But this is something different. This is a matching up of the human with the divine. It's the full revelation of the two natures that Jesus possesses. Yes, He is fully human, but He's also much more than that. He is truly God. And this is His transfiguration, which is a word that I learned this week is used almost exclusively. It's reserved for Jesus at this one particular point in history. I kind of realize that I don't use that word in kind of regular everyday speech, but when I looked it up in the dictionary, I saw that one of the definitions is this: the sudden emanation of radiance from the person of Jesus that occurred on a mountain. And then also listed as definitions are a marked change in form or appearance, and then also a change that glorifies or exalts. Now, you may or may not have seen Charlie this morning, my little Charlie, sitting in the back row back there. If you have, there's something a little different about him today. If you haven't, check it out later on. He's bald. No hair at all. There was an unfortunate encounter with the hair clippers yesterday. That's okay. But as different as Charlie looks today, we would not say that he has been transfigured, because that word is too strong. We reserve that word and this reality for the one who is showing the disciples who he is. All of who he is. And Jesus isn't playing games. He's not acting. He's showing the disciples who he truly is. And we can see it too. We need to see it. Because when God reveals to us who he really is, we get to see and we get to know his true identity. And because we know his true identity, we can also then embrace our own. The Bible says over and over that our identity is in Christ. Paul tells the Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When you were baptized and you went down into those waters as a poor, sinful being, you emerged as a new creation in Christ. And from that point on, your identity is inseparably connected to Christ. Paul also says to the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So while Jesus is transfigured in order to show us who he truly is, we are transformed by who he is. And the only way that we can truly be transformed is by knowing and following Jesus, who has shown us his true identity. His glory was manifested there on the Mount of Transfiguration, but it didn't get left there on the mountain. And in fact, the glory that was shown there was only a glimpse of the full glory that Jesus showed the world when he hung upon the cross. Jesus' full and true glory was on display at Calvary. As we enter into this season of Lent this week, where you will focus your eyes and your minds and your hearts on the work of Christ for your salvation, let the realization of his glory be what transforms you into exactly what he wants you to be. And embrace who God has created you to be. The scholar, the athlete, the musician, the tradesman, the grandmother or grandfather, maybe even the actor. But most of all, embrace that identity that you've been given in Christ as a deeply loved, fully forgiven, eternally saved child of the Most High. One who can see the full and true identity of Jesus, who was transfigured on that mountain so that we might see his glory, and who was crucified on that hill for us to know his love. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.